Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Yes, welcome to the last hour of Thursday.
Now, Dom, on this show previously, we've loved to talk about obvious product placement.
Oh, yes.
When you're watching a TV show or a film and they've obviously put an ad smack bang in the middle.
Yeah.
Each week we try to outdo each other with finding the most obvious ones. I think I've gone next level.
Okay, so
I have come across product placement in a place I've never seen it before.
Well, this all started a few months ago when I found it was in the TV show Designated Survivor, where they basically cut to a Ford ad halfway through the show. And then I think it was New Girl. Mm. You were watching New Fan. It was Ford as well. It stuck their way into New Girl. You're saying this beats both of them. This is more overt.
I'll give you a clue. Yeah. I've seen movies.
Yes.
I've seen it in TV shows.
Yeah.
I've now found it in novels. Have you heard of that before? In a written book?
No.
A product placement?
Well, the written word is meant to be the highest art form we have. If people are sneaking ads into novels, then that's probably too far.
You should hear the one I found. I'll share it before midnight tonight.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, bit of a crazy story out today. Mm. The headline reads, Mum makes cake store brownies with breast milk, wonders what the fuss is about. So a mum in the US has made some brownies for the school cake sale.
And you know what? If there is anything in the world that's better than a school cake sale, I don't know it. Because you get the secret family recipes, you get the brownies, you get the cakes, you get the biscuits. It's always a great day out.
Well, I'll read you this woman's story that she put on Facebook.
Sure.
So this is her status update.
So this isn't... No one else has broken this news.
No, she shared it herself.
She's broken the news. Wow.
She says, I need some advice. I made brownies for my school bake sale that had breast milk in them. I didn't have time to run to the store and didn't think it was a big deal. In brackets, some of those kids could use nutrition. Let's be honest. And it wasn't even that much. One of the other mums found out and are blowing up about it. They're blowing it way out of proportion.
Mm.
I don't know what to do. Any suggestions?
Well, okay, here's the thing. I don't know if her mistake was putting the breast milk in. I think it was a marketing mistake.
Right.
I reckon if you marketed them as breast milk brownies, maybe then it's okay. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I know that you have to say, like, it's gluten-free.
Exactly, right?
Or you have to say, especially at schools, it contains peanuts.
Yes.
Do you have to disclose that it contains human breast milk?
Question.
Yes.
Is breast milk vegan?
Hmm. Yes.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yep.
So she's also made vegan brownies.
Well,
that's a great part of it.
Well, the official line is the US Food and Drug Administration guidelines for using other people's breast milk to feed your baby explicitly advises not to use unscreened breast milk obtained through strangers or the internet. Basically, like any milk, it could contain diseases.
See,
so,
right.
You know, what you drink at home from cows is like screened and made sure that it's healthy. But if someone's just putting their own breast milk in,
well,
that could possibly have stuff in it.
The funny thing is, people would have wandered past them and like, oh, great, it's that family's famous brownie recipe. Get a few plates of them to bring home.
Probably, imagine if you had a few and they were
off.
The greatest brownies you've ever had.
Yes.
And you're just like smashing them back and you're like, there's something, I can't put my finger on it. There's something about these brownies that is delicious. And then someone says, it could be the breast milk.
So look, we want to know, 13 10 60, what didn't you know you were eating? Just like those people who would have had the brownies not knowing the milk sauce in them. what did you eat without knowing what it was? It happened to me, Zach, when I was probably 13 14. I went to
the breast milk one.
Not the breast milk one.
Different story.
I went off breast milk later, earlier than 13 14. No, I went to a family relative's 50th wedding anniversary, and they kind of held it in a community hall. There was a big function. We had caterers walking around with hors d'oeuvres and, you know, little platters. And it would have been close to 15 to 20 of what looked like chicken nuggets. And I was just, I was scoffing them down, right?
Delicious.
Oh, I loved them. They were so good, right? And I actually asked the waiter to come back with more. I was just, because that's what
and
I
did. And
that's
not the first time you've done that. I know that's a tactic you use quite often.
Well, this is that's what I do at functions, right? I just stay where the platters are, right? And I was scoffing down these chicken nuggets. And then my mum pulled me aside and said, Dom, what are you doing eating the fried lamb's brain? I was like, oh, is that what it is?
That's a good lesson, though, because, you know, kids would hate if you said lamb's brain.
Absolutely.
But you loved it, not knowing what it was.
Oh, I also loved it after I knew what it was.
Oh, you went on with it?
I went on. They were so good, Zach. I think I ended up with about 20 or 30 of them. It was great.
13, 10, 60. What didn't you know you were eating?
Ryan in Hobart, what did you eat unknowingly, Ryan?
So it wasn't me exactly, but it was like my old man. And we cooked up for tea one night kangaroo patties.
Yeah.
And we told him that it was beef patties.
Right, okay.
And what, he couldn't tell the difference?
He always said he's never liked it. Never liked kangaroo.
See, that's the thing, right?
That's
it's
good.
How much of it is mental? How much of it is psychological?
That's a real reversal too, because that's what parents would do to kids to get them to eat vegetables. It's like, come on, Dad, eat your kangaroo patties. He's like, no.
Robert, what did you eat without knowing?
Well, my little brother, it wasn't myself. My little brother drank my sister's breast milk for her daughter that she put in the fridge.
Now, how old was your little brother at the time?
He's about 13.
He's just gone to the fridge. He's seen milk, not knowing what it was.
Yes.
Sculled it back.
And 13's probably too old to be on breast milk, I would imagine.
You'd know from experience.
Yeah, that was about the age people said I had to stop to memory. Robert, did he notice any different taste or did he just say it tasted normal?
He sort of tasted normal.
Okay.
And then my sister turned around and about 2 weeks later, and she goes, oh, breast milk went missing out of the fridge.
you don't want to find that out 2 weeks afterwards, do you? You just want to move on with your life at that stage. Jodine in Maryborough, what did you eat without knowing?
Well, I'm the eldest of 5 kids, and we got home from school one afternoon, and there was a couple of plates on the table with sugar-coated peanuts. The coating of the sugar-coated peanuts. So we just started eating it, and it was really yummy, so we ate the whole lot, and then Mum got home a while later, and she said, where's the dishes that were on the table? We said, oh, we ate them. That was yum. Thank you. And she goes, no, you silly children, and she took us straight to the hospital. It was actually fly bait.
Oh, wow. So what is fly bait? What is that made out of?
It probably doesn't even exist anymore because I'm in my 40s and I've been probably 10-ish or 11.
Right. I imagine it'd be some sort of poisonous thing basically to get the flies to eat.
And you guys were all okay though?
Yeah, well, we were rushed to the hospital because they thought we'd start like fitting or vomiting and all that sort of stuff. But us being little feral things that we were,
Yeah, and I guess fly bait became a regular afternoon tea in the household.
Oh, I don't imagine so. I don't think you'd put it out on a plate. I think that was a mistake.
No,
put it in the corners, you know what I mean, on the ground.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, one thing we love to do is we love to find obvious product placement in film and TV. I think I've outdone all the ones we've found previously, though, because did you know, I have just discovered that you can have product placement in novels.
Well, this is the first step. We've obviously commented on product placement when they subtly sneak an ad for a product Not so subtly most of the time. Into our TV shows. Occasionally movies is another one you said, but I've never seen it in the written form in a novel.
Well, my wife was reading this novel and she said, I said, how are you enjoying it? And she's like, I like it, but she's like, sometimes the product placement really sticks out. And I go, product placement? And she's like, yeah, this book I'm reading references a lot of brands in a way that it makes it sound like an ad.
Okay,
so this book, I've brought it in tonight. It's Patricia Cornwell's Unnatural Exposure. It was published in 1996. It's a crime thriller.
I haven't heard of this. I mean, Patricia Cornwell's quite a well-known author. I haven't heard of this one.
Now, I'll read you the excerpt. I hope that this isn't a spoiler. Although the book was published in 1997, so I feel like it's been out long enough.
Should we just clarify, what's the title again for all the people who have it on their...
Yeah, that's true. Unnatural Exposure. I don't think I'm giving too much away. It's only a small excerpt.
Sure.
So the context is... These are, I think they're like detectives.
Right.
And as a part of what they're doing, they're trying to figure out how someone could have sent a picture online. In the 90s, apparently, that was a difficult thing to do.
Right, okay, so...
So they're sitting down and she's explaining how it's possible to send a picture via email.
Sure.
And she references a brand AOL, which is a internet provider.
They were the earliest internet provider, weren't they? I think they were the first on.
So she says, first you upload the file, which in this case is a graphic or GIF file. Generally, to send this successfully, you have to determine the number of data bits, stop bits, the parity setting, whatever the appropriate configuration is.
Yep.
That's where it's not user-friendly. But AOL does all of that for you. So in this case, sending the files was simple. You upload and off they go.
Oh, no.
It's basically just an ad in the middle of the novel.
And the issue with this is maybe at the time that made complete sense. 20 years on, that's dated pretty poorly. Do you know what I mean? Because we all know how to send GIFs these days and you don't need an explanation.
Now, I was thinking, Dom.
Yes.
This was my first recollection, my first instance of product placement in novels. I feel like all novels would be way better with more product placement.
So
what
so
I've done
follow them, right.
is I've gone back to maybe one of the most famous novels of all time, Harry Potter, and I've inserted product placement into a famous scene. And you tell me if you feel like this makes the scene better.
Okay.
Enter Harry Potter. "You're a wizard, Harry," Hagrid exclaimed as he took a large mouthful of his icy cold can of Coke, no sugar. "What?" Harry sounded shocked. "You're a wizard," Hagrid repeated. "No, not that," said Harry. "I couldn't care less about being a wizard. I mean, is that really the full taste of Coke with no sugar?" "Oh, yes," replied Hagrid. "I've made the switch and I haven't even been able to tell the difference." "Well," said Harry, "I may be the wizard, but that surely is the magic." Do you think Harry Potter would have been more successful with Coke product placement?
Well, I got to say, I was a big Harry Potter fan. I read all the books and I couldn't tell the difference. That was seamless. That snuck right in.
And are you feeling like an icy cold can of Coke, no sugar now?
Well, I know we've got them in the vending machine. I'm going to go grab one.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. Reviewing tonight's romance from around the country, this is Rate Your Date.
For a long time, Dom, you've been able to rate your hotels, your Netflix shows, even the coffee you have in the morning.
That's
but
right.
But you haven't been able to rate your date.
It's an oversight that has been around for far too long, Zach, and something we're trying to correct. 131060, if you have been on a date tonight, give us a call. Tell us how it went. And of course, Zach, when you are rating dates, there's only one scale you can use. The Taylor Swift spectrum.
She's written songs about every part of a relationship.
That's right.
So she has a corresponding song to every star rating.
Firstly, tonight we've got Maddie in Brisbane. Maddie, how many stars are you giving your date this evening?
I'm giving my date 4 out of 5 stars because we've got a party.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maddie. As soon as you said 4 out of 5 stars,
it just kicked off.
They just
Taylor Swift
off.
Heard it, and she felt the compulsion to sing.
Why 4 stars, Maddie?
Because we got a parking ticket.
Oh, so it was sitting on a 5. Everything
so
went
bad.
Well romantically, but there was just a circumstance
Definitely
that brought it down.
Really went well romantically, but $126 parking
Ooh,
ticket.
Gee.
Oh, $126.
Now, Maddie, when you were parking.
That's harsh.
Did you know there was a chance you'd get a ticket?
No, because the meter said meter closed, so we didn't put any money in the meter.
That seems unfair. I think parking inspectors are getting in the way of love.
I think what's happened there is that parking inspector has seen Maddie and her partner and thought, you know what? I'm going to shut down their love tonight with an expensive parking ticket.
Do they not awful? Have compassion, Dom?
Where is
Do
the
they
love?
Not see young love
yes.
and think, we're going to let this go?
Just awful, isn't it? Well, you know what? 4 out of 5 stars still is
it's
better.
Still
than,
pretty good.
Better
it's still
than any
good.
Date I've had in a long time. So you can $126 is worth it for love. Pete in Toowoomba, how many stars are you giving your date tonight, Pete?
Mate, I'll give her a 4.
A 4
Another
as well.
Another 4. Did you have to pay a parking ticket, Pete?
Nah, unfortunately not.
What happened?
No, I just went out and had a quiet night, had a bit of dinner and a couple of drinks.
That's well, nice. Pete, I'm thinking that could be a 5.
What's stopping it being a 5, Pete? Why won't you go the full 5?
The night's not quite over just yet.
Okay, he doesn't want to call it too early.
Well, maybe what we should do is get Pete back on in an hour and we might get that extra star.
All right, he wants to leave some room to move.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, I went to New Zealand a few weeks ago. With my parents. And while I was over there, I stumbled upon for the first time in my life, I stumbled upon the perfect fashion item that was almost, I think, tailor-made for me as a person.
Okay. You're not talking about tuxedo t-shirt, are you?
No, I'm not.
Both formal and casual at the same time.
Well, in this show, in the history of this show, you've tried me in a bandana. At one stage,
That's
that
right.
didn't work on me very well.
No, I didn't. That wasn't my suggestion.
Okay, that was
That was based on what you were looking at. Online.
The other look you've tried on me was Carrie Bickmore's Logie.
Yeah, I did try that. That was my idea.
Yep. My point is, we haven't yet stumbled upon the
best
right,
look.
The best look for me. And I think I found it, right? So we went out to a bungee jumping bridge in just out of Queenstown in New Zealand.
Did you, how was the bungee? Have a good time?
Well, as you would know, no way in hell was I doing
the hot chocolates were nice in the cafe.
Well, we went out there actually because they filmed a scene from Lord of the Rings near there and I wanted to go and see the location, right? And it just so happened it was next to a bungee jump place.
Yep.
I was never intending on going near bungee jumping normally. But we rocked up there and I watched a few people do the bungee. Mm. And while I was there, I wandered into, they had like a souvenir shop, a cafe type area. And I went in there and I'm looking through the shirts they've got there, right? And I stumbled upon this shirt. So obviously you've got your usual, I survived this bungee jump or, you know, stuff like that. But then I find a shirt and I've just sent you a picture of the shirt I found on Facebook. Have a look at that there. This is the shirt that I found in the gift shop of the bungee jump place.
Now, it's in the shape of a chicken.
Yep.
And it says, not a chance.
So
you must be crazy.
Essentially.
Can't do it.
What you've got there.
No, just no. One day more or something?
It's the one day maybe, I think it is. It's the shape of a chicken made up of excuses of why people wouldn't do it.
Okay. Right? So instead of doing like, I survived the bungee,
yes.
This is for the people who chickened out.
The people who chickened
out.
So
they out. Can still get a souvenir.
Yeah, this is what I love. For so long, if you chicken out of doing an experience, you don't get the souvenir. Now you get something as well. And has there ever been a better fashion item made for me than something like that?
I'm assuming you bought a crateful. You're loaded up now.
I can use them for all circumstances in life, the chicken shirts. Do you know what I mean?
It would be great for when you're wearing one of them to put your participation awards around your neck as you wear them from childhood.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News today, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull doesn't like the minions from Despicable Me.
Large percentages of them have no English skills at all. Many of them are illiterate in their own language.
Also, Harry Styles went to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
I walked in and everyone in the room was like people I'd seen in movies and stuff. So it's a really strange, like thing.
And Pauline Hanson is in Byron Bay for Splendor in the Grass.
I just arrived just a couple of hours ago, so I'm here for the week, and what a week it is going to be.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, aka the Collective Noun Forum, aka the happiest place on the internet.
And it's so affordable to get into the Collective Noun Forum.
Isn't it?
All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating on the iTunes podcast store. Search for Collective Noun, leave your 5-star rating, and then, Zach, you're into the forum, you've paid your admission price, you've got a whole day of fun ahead of you.
You do, Dom, and you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of room for everyone.
I think
I
so.
I always say that. Well, the lines aren't long.
You've got the park counter at the moment. How many have we got in the forum at the moment?
Healthy numbers.
Healthy numbers.
But definitely room to grow.
Yes, that's true. Well, I mean,
we're opening a whole new section.
Yes, we
and
are.
And we need people to fill it.
Well, late July is often a slower period for the
that's
forum.
Right.
So we really...
It's a good time to come. If you don't like lining up...
Yeah.
It's after the school holidays. The rush is gone.
Someone has asked me once whether we'd consider dropping the price to maybe a 3 or 4-star review. Unfortunately, no.
No, we can't. We're stuck on price.
Yes.
However, we are open to adding new segments.
New incentives, absolutely. Today in the forums, Zach, Claire EC has left a review. Firstly, saying that her boyfriend banned her from listening to this podcast until the end of the uni semester because apparently it was getting in the way of her studies.
Okay.
So well, welcome back, firstly, Claire.
Okay, so she's come back end of the semester.
Sorry,
I thought it was the upcoming semester.
No. So she says that she has just finished a lot of episodes that she'd been saving up through the semester.
I don't want to come between them.
No, nor do
I. If that's what you guys have sorted out and you're happy with that,
yeah,
please go ahead. But I would hope in the uni break
that
you catch up on everything.
I would hope so.
That you sit down and you just run the podcast stream continuously and you say, sorry, I can't come out of my room because I got a lot of podcasts to catch up on.
And look, Claire, maybe we'll invite your boyfriend to the Collective Noun Forum.
Yes.
We'd love to have him along here. Maybe if he saw what we have on offer in this forum, he'd change his mind.
I would hope so.
I mean, how many people, Zach, have come into the gates of this forum skeptical?
Yep.
Only to see the wonder of the park.
Oh, I see it every day.
You do. You come in every morning thinking, can I do this again?
Mm-hmm.
Can I do it one more time?
Yep.
But then you see it and it wins you over.
It does.
every time. Also, Claire goes on to say that she's glad that there's somebody else who saves time by brushing their teeth in the shower.
Do you do that?
Yeah, I mentioned I did that a little while ago on the show.
Right.
Which was something I've kept up. Got a new toothbrush, actually, recently.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Not good. Made a mistake in that purchase.
How do you stuff that up? Well, actually, I say that as if it's impossible to stuff up, but you did buy a denture brush once instead of a real toothbrush.
I did do that. No, I bought a new electric toothbrush, and I saw one that was on special.
Like, wait, you're using an electric toothbrush in the shower?
Yeah.
You don't see potential hazards there?
Oh, that could be. No, it should be fine. I reckon that'd be fine, because you've got to be able to, like, clean them completely with water. I don't think that's how they work.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Well, it hasn't got me yet, all right? So I'm okay for the moment. Anyway, I just took whichever one was, like, was on a big
I'm
special.
Sure it would say somewhere on the electric toothbrush, do not fully submerge in water.
It might say that, yes. You might be right.
Because you don't put the whole toothbrush in your mouth.
No, that's
true. Or do
true.
You? You got teeth way back there.
No, that's true. I've honestly never considered it could be a concern.
Yeah.
But you are making me think maybe I should reevaluate that position. But it's just not a very good toothbrush. It just doesn't really do a lot. So I might need to go and buy another new one.
I don't understand how it could be bad.
What do you
mean? Well, because you're also still using people power, aren't you?
Oh, no, most of the time with an electric toothbrush. Are you an electric man or are you a manual, right?
Analog.
Right.
I like the classics.
Well, most of the time with an electric toothbrush, it does most of the work for you, right?
Yeah.
This one got discontinued. I found out after I bought it. That's why it was on special. Got discontinued for being pretty ineffective.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it kind of just feels like something's mildly twitching mm-hmm. on your teeth.
Maybe I should look into electric toothbrush.
I reckon you should. Give it a go. I reckon you'd be converted. And lastly, Zach, Claire says that we were talking apparently a little while ago about the weather being cold in Brisbane. Claire wants us to know she's from Canberra and that we have no right to talk about cold.
That's correct. Canberra is actually like abnormally cold.
Oh, well, there was that picture that went around a few weeks ago of somebody cracking an egg and the inside of the egg had frozen.
Really?
Canberra. Yes, which I never heard happening before.
That's the great thing about cold climates is you don't have to be worried about things going off, do you?
Yes.
Sometimes I think fridges have the opposite effect, don't they? In really cold places, don't you put stuff in the fridge so it doesn't freeze?
Do you?
Well, it's a controlled climate, so it's not going to get down to like minus 10.
Yeah, that's a good
point. It's
got
to maintain, you know, 3 degrees or whatever it needs to be.
I mean, I've been to Canberra. You've done Canberra, haven't you? Canberra doesn't hold good memories for you, does it?
Oh, I was at the hospital once.
Yes, that's right.
My wife broke her arm while snowboarding. But I have been to pleasant trips to Canberra as well.
I love Canberra. I think Canberra gets a bad rap.
Is it the Science Centre down
Questacon.
There?
Questacon's what you're thinking of. The Sporting Institute's great as well. The Institute of Sport.
I assume you're there as a spectator. You weren't invited as a participant?
No, I was not invited as some of the country's elite athlete.
Or they might have wanted to do studies on the other end. They've seen the best. They really want to run the machine through their paces.
Well, it is funny, actually, because they've got, like, at the Institute of Sport, they've got, like, a big interactive feature, and you can, like, test yourself against, like, run against Kathy Freeman, like a digital version, I think it was when I was there, of Kathy Freeman.
How'd you go?
Well, here's the funny thing. So Kathy Freeman started running. I started running. The machine shut off by the time I'd finished.
It's like Mario Kart when you come 12th and they don't let you finish.
Yes! It was exactly like that.
Oh, the stadium lights are going off. You have to grab an official and be like, actually, there's someone still running.
Look, if you do want to get on the Collective Noun Forum, we would love to have you join us in here. It is lovely and there's room for plenty. Mm. All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating on the iTunes podcast or write whatever you want in the review and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, Splendour in the Grass, the music festival in Byron Bay is on this weekend. Mm. I think you might know the least about this music festival than anyone in the country, and I want to prove it.
Well, actually, to add to the evidence you already have, somebody today, when I asked them what their weekend plans were, they did tell me they were going to Byron, and I said, oh, lovely time of year, what are you going down there for? And they said, Splendour. I'm like, oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
Wasn't that the second time? Didn't you have another discussion in the week with someone listing the bands?
Yeah, that's right, and this is when I was getting my acai bowl on Monday. The person who served me was telling me the band she was really looking forward to seeing. I didn't know one of them.
Gibberish to you.
Well, I was listening out for Coldplay or something. or Ed Sheeran, but I didn't hear anything I knew.
No, Michael Bublé's not playing this year. I'm not sure how his Christmas album would go down. Sing up if you know it.
Oh, that's our campaign next year. Get Boomblade to Splendor. What a great idea.
Now, this is how this is going to work.
Yep.
The game is called Splendor in the Grass or Species of Grass.
Sure.
I'm going to say a word. You have to tell me if it's a band name or a type of grass.
Now, there's a fair chance I might actually know some species of grass.
Really? Is that?
Yeah, I did have an interest in looking after turf when I was... in my late teenage years.
You should have told me this before we went to air with it. You might know the grass and not the band.
I only know a few of the grass.
You have to get 100%, by the way. If you get 100%,
okay. Yep.
It means that you actually have some cred when some it comes to music.
Awesome.
Or maybe grass. We're learning.
Yep.
If you don't get 100%,
yep.
Well, you've got to embarrass yourself.
Sure. All right. Let's get into it.
The first one, scutch.
Scutch.
Talk me through your thoughts.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. Scutch doesn't sound elegant enough to be a species of grass. Mm. And it does sound short and kind of, it sounds kind of ambiguous enough to be a band name at an
what
alternative
would they play?
Music festival. I reckon Scutch would play, funky jazz. Do they have that at Splendor?
Scutch is a grass.
Oh.
Incorrect.
All right, well, that's off to a good start.
It's a species of grass native to most Europe, Asia, and the Arctic areas.
I see. Well, you know what? Not a great start. But, you know, if you're laying a lawn, why not look at Scutch?
Our second one, Cigar Rose.
Cigar Rose. How do you spell that? Can you spell Cigar Rose for me?
S-I-G-U-R space R-O-S.
So now I'm trying to figure out whether I can see Sigur Rós, on an album cover. How would Sigur Rós stand on an album cover, right? Mm-hmm. Or could I see myself going up to a turf farmer, just a few square metres of Sigur Rós, thank you. Mm. Yep, it's a grass.
Incorrect.
Oh, come on.
It's a band. I purposely pronounced it more like Rose and not how I'd usually pronounce it.
Which would be what?
Sigur Rós, I'd usually say.
Okay.
Although I have heard people pronounce it different ways.
Okay,
Icelandic
right.
band.
I didn't mind that, actually. I might grab one of their songs on the way
home. To be
home.
Honest with you, mm-hmm. out of everyone playing at Splendor, yep. I could see you getting into them, but not for the same reason everyone else does.
What do you mean?
Well, I just think you would like the... It's very like... It kind of feels a bit orchestral. It's very,
right.
like, full feeling.
Okay. Well, don't insult them by saying they're my taste in music. They
That's what I felt like I was doing when I was doing it. I thought everyone who's hearing this who was a fan would
yes.
be like, oh, I don't want...
Don't associate them. No one will go to see them this weekend.
The last one.
I can get a little bit of redemption here. Come on.
St. Augustine.
Is that a species of grass or a band at Splendor in the Grass? This is important for me to know. Is it spelt saint as in the full spelling, S-A-I-N-T,
mm.
or saint as in S-T full stop?
Written in front of me, S-T
yep.
full stop.
S-T full stop. Well, I think that would mean it is a band. And before you say whether I'm right or wrong, my logic for thinking that
yeah.
is because I think if it's a grass, they would have spelt saint.
So you think it's a cool way of spelling it?
I think it's a cool way of spelling saint, and St. Augustine is a band. I imagine they probably use some organs.
Yep.
And I think they're a band.
Incorrect. Zero from three.
Are you kidding me?
St. Augustine is a grass popular, it's a Charleston grass in South Carolina. There you go.
Well.
Sorry, it's also known as Charleston grass in South Carolina.
Right. Well, this has gone probably as well as it could be expected. I mean.
Zero from three. That was remarkable.
Unfortunately, I was really hoping I might, even if I don't have any band knowledge, that I might have some good turf knowledge. Unfortunately, it seems I'm equally deficient.
And I also knew that you tried to cheat because you knew that I had two band grabs. And you thought I'd have two bands, but that was a red herring.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, that wraps up the week of Collective Noun. I know that sometimes we like to get celebrity reviewers.
Yes,
we like to invite people in to review the week
just
of radio.
Well, it's give us an idea of how the show's gone this week because we don't know, you know.
So I have invited current affair host Tracy Grimshaw
okay.
to review this week, Dom. So, Tracy, what did you think of our radio show this week?
Oh, hang on. Tracy's just out the
door. Oh, she's out the door. Come in, Tracy. Come in.
Come
sorry,
in,
we didn't turn your mic on.
Oh, sorry.
I'll ask you again. Tracy, what did you think of our radio show this week?
It might be the perfect time to take a leap of faith and completely rethink your career.
Yeah, no. By the fact that we stuffed up playing that grab is evidence enough.
It's late. That is all we got time for on the show. If you do want to hear the whole thing back, search for Collective Noun on iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. You can grab the podcast there. And we'll see you Monday night at 11.
Bye. Oh, yeah.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.